we are holding on to your promises, Lord, but it's true that your promises, when believed, they hold on to us. We aren't those who hold on to the truth, the promise that you are with us, as if we're afraid if we let go of you, somehow you will disappear. It is the promise that you are with us that holds on to us and keeps us calm in the storm. It gives us hope in difficult times, and it gives light for our travels. So we praise you, Lord. Praise him in the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let the name of the Lord be praised. For he commanded and all things were created. He established things forever and ever. You fixed the boundaries, Lord, which cannot be passed. Lord, you are our creator, you are our redeemer, you are Emmanuel, God with us, and you are our keeping keeper, and we praise you, Lord, for all that you've done, for all your good acts, for all of your marvels. Lord, in our distress, your presence, it comforts us. In our difficulties, you are the one who reaches down and lifts us up and moves us from miry clay and moves us from seeking sand and places our feet upon the firm foundation. Jesus Christ, who is our rock, the rock of our salvation. You protect us and you guide us. Though there are difficulties around us, when we face temptation, Lord, you provide the way of escape. And on this day, we ask, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit has to say. I ask as we move through the book of Jude this morning that you would give me grace that I may speak your word, Lord, to your people with your heart. I pray that you will be here in such a way that we all hear a better sermon than the one that is coming out of these lips. And I pray, Lord, that by your grace that what comes out of these lips is worthy to hear. But it is your work and your activity in our lives that will make the difference. So encourage us with this good word today, and may we be built up so that we will go into a new year full of faith and confidence in your care and in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. If you feel like it. Well, happy Christmas yesterday. Happy December 26th today. And since I will not have the opportunity to preach God's word again in 2021, I'm going to make this one last. You are welcome. Emmanuel, God with us. It doesn't cease to be something true when we turn the page from December 25th to December 26th. David Pallison states that I am with you is the central promise of the entire Bible. If this is true, here's the good news for us today. Not just today, but tomorrow and in the year that is ahead. You will never be abandoned. You will never be alone. God will never give up on you. He will never forget you. And so let me encourage us, as we have difficulties in our life right now, some of us, or we have difficulties that will greet us in someday in the future, do not forget that God will never forsake you. He will never leave you. Oh no, he will never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, he will never let go. And every high and every low, and we are wise to remind ourselves of this. God speaks to our fear. He speaks to our dismay. He speaks to our struggle with isolation that is the result of hardships. And he does so by saying this, I am with you. Amazing grace. Amen. If this is true, and we are those people who believe it is true, if this is true, then we can be fully confident that what I am going to call the bookends of Jude, the book of Jude, just before the book of Revelation, it's a little small thing there, If these things are true, then we can have confidence that what I'm going to call the bookends of Jude are true. Here's bookend number one. It's from Jude, verse 1. Just so you know, bookend number 2 is going to come at the end of the book of Jude, in Jude 24. Bookend number 1, Jude, verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and here it is, and kept in Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to be called. What a privilege it is to have the Spirit work in our lives where we can hear the call of God and we can respond to it. What a joy it is to be beloved in God the Father. And I want to add this, what a joy it is to be beloved in God the Father, by God the Father. And oh, what peace we receive when we consider the first bookend of Jude, kept for Jesus Christ. It's good news. We're going to move from the beginning of the book of Jude to the end of the book of Jude, and we're going to see the second bookend, the back end, bookend number 2, Jude verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep. There's that word again. Derivative. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. So here it is. We are kept for Emmanuel by the one who's able to keep us. Emmanuel himself. How sweet it is to know that God keeps. And it's not just in the book of Jude that we have this thought. Psalm 121, which if you've never memorized a psalm, here's one that would be worth your consideration. It's a little bit ambitious. It's 8 verses, so not very ambitious, but it's a little bit ambitious. Psalm 121 proclaims, "The Lord is your keeper." And then in these 8 verses, the Lord our keeper is described as keeping or as the keeper 6 times. So, why don't you memorize Psalm 121 before January 1st? I think you can do it. But here's the good news, loved ones. Our Heavenly Father is constantly keeping us, both in the Son and for His Son. Paul, He's taken a hold of you. He's given you to His Son, and He is keeping you for His Son, and He's keeping you in the Son. He keeps us, kept for Jesus Christ. And then we give praise to the one who is able to keep. It'd be good news if he was trying to keep us with good intentions. But it wouldn't be such wonderful news if he was unable to do so. But we serve a God who is our keeping keeper, who not only intends to keep us, but is able to keep us. And since this is the case, you and I would be wise to make this a regular part of our prayer times, of our times of intercession when we pray for one another, of our times of prayer when we were praying blessing upon our lives. Lord, would you keep my brother? Would you keep my sister? Would you keep Nancy in the trials that she's going through now? Keep her encouraged. Keep her bold. Keep her hopeful in the trials that she is going through. When you have unexpected good news and you have this temptation, well, of course I got the raise. I'm awesome. Of course I got the promotion. The rest of the people around me, well, they're just riffraff. Well, may God keep us humble. Lord, keep me near yourself. It's a good prayer. Keep my sister Lorna near yourself. Keep my brother Bob near yourself. Keep us near your Son. Keep us aware of the Spirit's nearness to us. And here's the deal. When we pray this prayer, this is the exact kind of prayer that God's going to answer. 1 John 5 tells us when we pray according to His will, not only does He hear as a noise in the distance, He hears and He takes it to heart and says, I'm going to answer that. Lord, keep me near. Keep me near your Son. Keep me near your Spirit, and make me aware of His nearness to me, even in me. And God will answer this prayer. As the hymn says, He promised to keep me, support me, and defend me. When trials o'ertake me and temptations assail, He promises to guide me, and I am persuaded his promise never, no, never can fail. May this truth keep us. And I don't know who has let you down. I just know somebody has. Little corner over here, there have been times that I've been the one who did the letting down. I don't know who let you down, who may have let you go. But oh no, he will never let you go, right? I don't know who's walked away from you. I don't know who quit texting you. In your case, I know who quit texting you. Who let you down, who left you. I don't know who it was that didn't treasure you enough, it seems, so that they cast you aside as something that is not all that worthwhile. I don't know who has cut you off because they no longer wanted you to be a part of their lives, but this much I know, and I want you to know this morning that you are in Christ. The Lord is your keeper. If you were in Christ, he hasn't turned a deaf ear to your struggles. If you are in Christ, he will never, no, never let you go. I know this is the case. He will never, no, never let you go or walk away from you. He will never, no, never devalue you or give up on you. He will never, no, never cut you off and cast you aside. Here it is from bookend one and bookend two, and I'm going to smash them together. God is our keeping keeper. It's just what he does. He is keeping you for himself and for his son, Emmanuel. God with us, he will again never, no, never let you go. And because this is true, I want to give us a little bit of time to think about what are the implications of this being true. But earlier this morning, I thought implications is the wrong word. The better word is what results in our life if we become those who are convinced that he is our keeping keeper. So a couple of things that result in our lives because bookend number one is true. We have this understanding that we are blessed. Hashtag blessed. And here is a quick condensation of the blessings that are ours because we believe that he is keeping us for Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, may mercy, that's a blessing, peace. And if you live without peace, you know it's something, a blessing you want. And love be multiplied to you. This is a truth that, when perceived, transforms our attitude and adds a lightness to our steps, so to speak, and causes the sun to shine brighter, so to speak. So let me give you a moment of confession. In the year 2021, I will say for the majority of the year, I lived underneath the level of blessing that I was receiving. Here I am, the last Sunday, 2021. I'm here at church. God woke me up. When he woke me up, he was still God. When I came in and opened up the building and turned on the lights, it turned out that God, the Holy Spirit, had been here all night. And so I didn't have to say, Lord, you're welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. It was him saying to me, Brian, you're welcome in this place. It's mine. He woke me up and he welcomed me not only into this building, but he welcomed me into the day. And that is the case today. And it's true that it was the case every day of 2021 and will be for the couple of days that are left. But I have lived my life in many days under a shadow of difficulty, over sadness, over distraction with the darkness that is in the world. And I will tell you that I didn't combat it all that well on certain days, and it encroached upon me. But again, here I am, the last day of the year. God is still God. He brought me into this house. He gathered my church family around me with your smiles and your love and your support. And on this Sunday, I have with me my son and my daughter-in-law. What a joy. And I have my lovely wife. And if I needed no evidence of God's grace and care for me, my wife was there every day of the year. And if I was tempted to forget and to think that he had let go of me, oh, look at that. That's the face I like. It's an evidence of God's grace and mercy And in being aware of his grace and mercy is the kind of thing that creates within us peace. But for whatever reason, I was distracted by the society that was around us and everything that was hard and everything that was difficult. And I lived underneath the blessing that I was receiving every day. But here's the truth. I'm still here, which means bookend number one is true. I was kept in 2021 by Emmanuel, and he will keep me still. And I don't know each of your struggles, but I'm sure some of you are surprised that you're still here today. You had a hardship, you had a difficulty, you had an obstacle, you had a breakdown that was so glorious you thought you would never get back up. But here it is. You're here today. Or you're alert enough to turn on your TV as you're coming out of COVID and to receive the good news that you're being kept. Bookend number one results in the blessing of peace and mercy and multiplied love. Oh, we could use more of that. The implications of the result of bookend number two, again, we're blessed. Verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, what a blessing it is not to fall down. At our house, we have a rule, don't fall. Not making that up, it's a rule, don't fall. Not everybody always attends to that rule. And to present you as blameless before his presence of his glory with great joy. What an incredible blessing. How many of you are aware that you're not blameless? But he's able to keep you so that you will be presented to the Father as one who's blameless. I am fully aware of how tarnished I am and how full of blame I am. But there will come a day when I stand before God and Jesus, the Son of God, will present me to his Father and say over me what Stevie Wonder once sang, isn't he lovely? Paraphrase. But for Julie, there will be no paraphrase. Isn't she lovely? And the Father will look, yeah, that's a part of the bride. No spot, no wrinkle on her. It's a blessing. So just consider this. We are kept for the day of presentation, and that results in daily power. If I wake up with the understanding that God is with me and Jesus is working in me, he's able to keep me and present me to his Father, this day has, well, what can I dread? God is for me, right? There's times that we quote these passages, if God is for me, what can be against me? But there's times when we become so aware of God's presence and his work in our life that that truth is keeping us. And we can get up and we can walk in the day bold, not arrogant, not holding on again as if somehow God's going to forget us. Ah, he's keeping me. And he's keeping me in such a way that he is dragging me sometimes against every of one of my internal inclinations. And he's dragging me before his Father that he may present me blameless. And that is an empowering thought. Verse 25 continues, because here's the result. Not only are we blessed, but God is praised. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time, now and forever. You see, there's something about praise that just blurts out the good news. There's something about praise that will not be shushed. There's something about praise that is the spontaneous response to God's goodness in your life. And I kind of feel it here in verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. And you can feel, as the author writes, there is an escalation of passion. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. There's something about praise. There's something about knowing God is keeping you that results in a shout of praise. Hallelujah. How many times have you written a little letter to somebody, a little bit of good news, and you went capital P, capital T, capital L, exclamation point. It claps its hands, or it will be silent and it will shed tears, or hold its breath. God is our keeping keeper. And when we have this understanding anchored in our soul, we stand on solid ground and we live our daily lives from that position of knowing we are blessed. And we become those that God created us to be, those who speak forth His glory. So, what might this mean for us in a new year? It means hope. In one way, it means we can rise above the messy middle. And I'm not going to spend time on the messy middle of Jude. I am going to read it so that you will, yep, that's messy. I want our breath to be taken by bookend number one, that we are kept, and bookend number two, that He is able to keep us. But if that's the case, there's a messy middle that we all live in. I was distracted by the messy middle of 2021. And here it is, verse 3 through 16. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angel who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, He is kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of that great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of fire. Yet in like manner, these people, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. When the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them! For they walked in the way of Cain, and they abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts. As they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by the winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead and uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. Wandering stars, for whom the gloom of outer darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way." Messy indeed, right? And of all these harsh things that these ungodly sinners have spoken against Him, these are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desire. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. Messy indeed. So when I say there's a messy middle that we need to process through, I'm not making that up. For that reason, I am thankful for the bookend of Jude. Job's a whole other story of mess. Beginning in blessing, ending in blessing. We are being kept by someone who is able to keep us. And because this messianic middle is true, it's no surprise that Jude continues with the words that he has here in verse 17 and 19. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. And so here's what happens whenever you hear news of a church that is in conflict, of a church that is splitting. They're getting distracted by the messy middle. They're not leaning into the one who keeps and has the ability to keep forever. Verses 17, 18, and 19 tell us, of course things are messy. Of course things are messy. Rather than be surprised at the level of darkness that is around us, maybe we should be surprised at our surprise at the level of darkness that is around us. For the prophets of old mentioned it, and those members who wrote the New Testament said, things are going to come. There's going to come a day when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but they're going to craft people around them, or they will flock to people who will tell them what they want to hear. Of course it's messy, but we are to remember, in the middle of the messy middle, Emmanuel is with us. He is God with us. And the God who is with us is keeping us, that he might present us blameless. Oh no, he never lets go. His promises never, no, never will fail. And since we are being kept, we can be fearless. You know, in the Bible, there's 365 times that the Bible encourages us with this truth. I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. There is some version of that 365 times in the Bible. Some have said that's one for every day of the year. Fear not. Why? Because I am Emmanuel. I am God with you. And Emmanuel, God with me, is my keeping keeper. It's great news that this God is with us. We might like to have Thor handy from time to time. Hey, I have someone I would like you to take your hammer out on. Thor's not God. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. God the Father, who so loved us that he sent his only Son. And the Holy Spirit, old Pentecostal language, the Holy Ghost, has been given to us by the Son as God's indwelling presence and our daily advantage. Fear not, particularly, for I am with you. If God is with us, who can be against us? Since we are being kept, we are able to be gracious. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 informs us and instructs us, walk in wisdom towards outsiders. And then in the same context, it goes on to say this, let your speech always be gracious. I hope my speech is always gracious with my wife. I know there are times that I live underneath that. But I like to think I'm much better at it now than I was 32 years ago. And that I'll get it right when we meet in heaven. But because God is with us and we are being kept, it is possible for us to be gracious and to have gracious speech towards all people, towards those who frustrate us the most, towards those who get a kick out of our having a bad day. God is with us in grace. He spoke a kind word towards us. He speaks kind words of us still. Freely we have received grace from the gracious one. May we be those who freely give grace and be gracious towards those who are even our enemies. Love for our enemies is what we're called to be a part of in the Bible, right? Well, here's what it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like combat. It doesn't look like complaint. It doesn't look like crankiness. It doesn't look like anger. Because of the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no room for crankiness if we're walking in the fruit of the Spirit. But some of us think having a quick tongue that can put somebody in their place is the fruit of the Spirit. Just because we add God's name to an ungracious statement doesn't make it a gracious statement. We can be fearless. We can be gracious. And because God is with us, He's keeping us, we can be generous. 2 Corinthians 9 speaks of our being enriched in every way, that we might be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God, not just in us, but it will produce thanksgiving to God in the people who are, we are being gracious for, we are being gracious to, as we are rising in generosity. And this isn't simply about taking your tithe and putting it in the black boxes on your way out. But no, certainly do that. Or if you're at home, you can go on the webpage. It's not about that. Being gracious in every way, being generous in every way. Don't you know the Lord has been generous with you? Not just in supplying you the things that you need, but supplying you with the people who are around you, supplying you with aptitude, supplying you with passions that bring joy and pleasure, supplying you with rest in certain times, supplying you with everything. He's generous in all sorts of ways, in every way. So, Lord, may we become more and more generous people in every way, because we have confidence He is with us and He's keeping us. So we don't have to be stingy. We don't have to be stingy with our time. We can additionally, because we're being kept by our keeping keeper, we can be joyful. We can have a rising level of peace of soul, restfulness. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said it this way, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." Peace that is offered by the world is fleeting, or it requires another dose. The peace that God gives us is substantial, it is enduring. It is peace beyond our understanding. I don't know how many times this year when I was struggling through the messy middle and I would preach, and I will tell you many Sundays for me this past year, preaching was an exercise in me staying sane. There's not a sermon that you heard that was about you. If it was about you, by all means, take it and run with it. But the Lord was messing with me, keeping me sane through His word in the book of Hebrews, week in and week out. He gives us peace that is durable and is established and keeps us joy, rest, and peace because God is with us as our keeping keeper. Our real possibilities. And if I'm living a joy diminished life, if I am living a rest diminished life, if I am living a peace diminished life, it's because I'm not living in the bookends, I'm living in the messy middle. I'm watching too much political TV, listening to too much political radio, which will distract me and make me angry and tempt words to come out of my mouth, loved ones, that ought not to come out of my mouth. As James said, out of one mouth comes, out of the mouth comes blessings and praises to our God. Out of the same mouth come curses towards those who are made in His image. Brothers, it ought not to be this way. I'll be listening. I'll be going down the road. Oh, Lord, You never let go. Through the calm and through the storm. 5 minutes on the radio, well, I can't believe those jokers. Sometimes within moments, praise and cursing, just as James said. Additionally, because we are being kept, we can accomplish all that God purposes for us to accomplish. We can do it all. You can do it all. And if you wonder, is there anything that you are should be doing, can be doing? Is God ambitious for your accomplishing his purpose? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 makes it very clear. We are his workmanship. We are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. In Christ Jesus, you were created to walk in good works, to show off his glory, so that when people who are around you who don't understand what's going on will simply be taken away, you know? You know? I have no explanation for why Joe is such a decent guy. Have no explanation for why he's such a nice guy. I have no explanation why when I cursed him, he gave me blessing. I have no explanation for that. There's a resource that he has in his life that I don't have. When we create one, when we interact with people who are our enemy as though they are our friends and our brothers, when we pray for those who persecute us, who would love to see our downfall, when we engage them in purposeful, thoughtful, helpful engagement, God is glorified. We can't accomplish all that he calls for us to accomplish. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, but it's not all about us, it's about our keeping keeper. Paul writes, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. So we are being kept by the one who is active in our lives to accomplish his will. Good news. Now, we're coming to the end. Jude 20, 21, 22, and 23 kind of show us how we participate in this. It's by building and by waiting. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment that is stained by the flesh. How do we participate? We build ourselves up in our most holy faith and we wait. It's an active waiting, as you're going to see real quick. Build yourself up in the holy faith by praying in the Spirit and by keeping yourself in the love of God. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, hear me. Hear me, Pentecostal brother and sister. There's more to praying in the Spirit than praying in the Pentecostal Spirit way. That is praying as the Spirit leads. It is praying as the Spirit prompts. I will say this. Every single prayer that is sincerely prayed is a Holy Spirit prayer. For here's what I know. In my flesh, I'm not prone to pray. See, my fleshly way to pray is to not pray. And so how do I pray in the Holy Spirit? I pray as the Holy Spirit prompts. I pray as the Holy Spirit leads. And if you prayed for me at all this week, that was a Holy Spirit-led prayer, whether it was in tongues or not. If you prayed for our country, it was a Holy Spirit-led prayer. Because left to yourself, you're not going to pray. You're just like me. Keep yourself in the love of God, which is simply saying this. Keep yourself in relationship with your keeping keeper by attending to his word and allow it to drift over you. Being in relationship with other believers in gathered services and on the phone and in letters and in texting and on FaceTime and all the places we can gather in a group of people that gather together. Keep yourself in the love of God by keeping yourself in the word of God and around the people of God. And then wait. We build ourselves up and then we wait. Wait for the mercy of Jesus Christ. And loved ones, this is clearly about his return. Live a life that is anticipating he will come. And when he comes, he will find us right looking for him because he's been keeping us. And when he comes, he will take me with him that he might present us to his Father, blameless. And then his Father will say, well done. I got a place for you just around the corner. You got to see this place. Until he returns, though, we are called to have mercy with those who doubt. I know from time to time it is tempting to become impatient with our brothers and our sisters who aren't really as far along the road of sanctification as they ought to be. We're impatient with some of them because, quite frankly, we don't like their temperament. The exact same activity in somebody else who we just love their temperament, you know, they get the same jokes, they watch the same shows. We're patient with these guys. But people who are different with us, we struggle being patient with. Paul. Yeah, he comes and he serves us, and I'm not going to out you, but he serves you every Sunday without you knowing it. Freely, joyfully, with a smile. Sometimes when he's not able to stay for the service, he's showing up. Sorry, I'm out in you just a little bit. Not able to stay for service, he will come and serve you. And he'll go on to the task that he has for the day. So I guess Paul's the bad example for somebody who's easy to dislike. Paul. But there, you know what I mean when I talk about, you know, Paul. You know that Paul, right? This is Paul. And then there's that Paul. Paul who always has a sob story and who is making demands of you and who doesn't like your jokes and who thinks you're not good looking. That Paul. Show mercy with those who struggle, those who doubt. Save others. That is, until he returns, love them. We are moving in the direction of those who are in danger of hellfire. Snatch them from the hellfire by introducing them to the keeper. To others? I like this. To others. I take this referred to deniers, scoffers, critics, opponents, skeptics, indifferent, conflicted. Show mercy. Well, of course, show mercy, because it takes mercy to be patient with those who are your opponents, those who are critics. But it says do it with fear. What's this? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 gets our mind around this. If anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch over yourself. Be fearful, lest you too be tempted. See, we ought to be fearful of being entangled in the sin that we are correcting or we are working to eradicate in people's lives. At the same time, we ought to be fearful of spiritual pride because we are engaging others in their place of need and or weariness, because sometimes it's exhausting. People will go all Karate Kid over your witnessing. I'm not going to have any of that. They will go Karate Kid over your efforts to witness, to show them love. There is a keeping keep over here. I want to introduce you. I'm not going to have none of that. It's sometimes wearying. And then finally, hating even the garment stained by flesh. This is the follow through from what we just talked about. Be ruthless with sin. Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. When you find yourself in the messy middle, never excuse your bad attitude. Be ruthless with it. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. Said, I discipline my body. I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. One more word about mercy before we close in prayer. And we lift our voices in song one more time. It may be the person that you need to show mercy to is yourself. The temptation for me as I look at how I allowed the messy middle to encroach upon me over the last year is to speak words of condemning failure over myself and to hunker down in that place of condemnation. Here's the truth. There's some attitudinal things that were a part of my life that I needed to repent of. But if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse me. It's not that I wasn't in the messy middle and that it marked me. It's that I have a keeping keeper who is working me in such a way that I will be presented to his Father blameless. Not because I'm actually blameless, but because he began a good work in me and he's going to complete it. So in the end, I am blessed and I am empowered because the one with all the power, the one to whom belongs blessing and honor and glory and power, has invested himself in my life. He's keeping me with power sufficient to keep me. And so as Jude ends, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us find ourselves anchored by the bookends. May we find ourselves actually living in the keeping power and the truth of the bookends, so that as we traffic through the messy middle, no matter how dark the moment is, when you get the phone call and the news is as bad as it can possibly be, oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Should our worst fears on an earthly level prove to be realized in 2022, his promises never, no, never will fail. Because we are being kept for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, who is with us, is able to keep us and present us in the presence of his Father, blameless. So when the Father looks at you someday, Bob, he's not going to do, what are you doing here? We'll say, enter into the joy that has been prepared for you. This is home. You're finally home. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would encourage us with these truths this morning. And that we would get our hands in some ways off of our lives. And they will be lifted up in praise and worship to you, for you are our keeping keeper. Remind us that on the best days, great is your faithfulness, and in our worst moments, great is thy faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and sing it with me?